This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to continue our coverage of the eviction crisis. On Tuesday, the Trump administration announced that the CDC will invoke its authority to stop evictions through the end of the year. The order, which goes into effect tomorrow, applies to individuals making less than $99,000 or less, or couples filing jointly with $198,000 or less. Those who are eligible must present their landlords with a declaration, and that'll be available on the CDC's website tomorrow. A number of advocates for tenants and landlords say this does not go far enough because it does not include emergency rental assistance. Joining us to talk about this is Seamus Roller, Executive Director of the National Housing Law Project based in San Francisco. Hi, Seamus. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So, Seamus, we talked about the California eviction law, which was signed by Governor Newsom on Monday. It does protect some people. It does not protect everyone. Now that the CDC law goes into effect tomorrow, what does that mean for California's law?
Well, there's a lot of complicated legal questions between the intersection of the CDC moratorium, the California moratorium, and then many cities also have their own moratoriums, which are not preempted by either the federal one or the state one. I mean, I think there are a couple of highlights. There are, you know, in some cases, there are stronger penalties for landlords that violate the law under the CDC eviction moratorium. So there's a little bit, there can be criminal penalties for landlords who evict tenants illegally. But in many cases, the California moratorium will provide greater benefits to tenants. One of the big protections the CDC moratorium provides is that it blocks almost all actions that a landlord might take. So it really prevents landlords from issuing notices and some of the other things that can like confuse tenants about what's actually happening, because the law is pretty complicated at this point. So my hope is that it'll really discourage landlords from issuing notices and taking other actions that might get tenants to move out on their own without going through the sort of full court process.
Where can people go to find information about this, given that it is so confusing? We have a new law in California, and now there's a new rule at the federal level.
Yeah, so I really encourage you to find a local legal services organization or housing rights organization, because you have this interplay of local ordinances. So here in San Francisco, there's a local ordinance, there's the state ordinance that applies, and the CDC one. The Western Center on Law and Poverty is a great organization that covers statewide in California that has some good resources. And then our organization will be producing a number of documents about the CDC's moratorium over the next couple of days, and that's at nhlp.org.
That is Seamus Roller, Executive Director of the National Housing Law Project. They're based in San Francisco. Now I would like to welcome Diane Yentl to the show. Diane is President of the National Low Income Housing Coalition, and they're based in D.C. Hi, Diane. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So we were talking about to Seamus about how the CDC rule impacts California's law. It's so confusing, Diane. There are lots of different laws across the country, and now we have the CDC rule, which you have been following very closely. What would you say to people who are very confused right now?
Yeah, it's challenging. I mean, it's why we have been calling from the beginning for Congress to enact a uniform national moratorium on all evictions for nonpayment of rent for the duration of the pandemic, both because the very least the federal government ought to do is assure all of us that we're not going to lose our homes in the middle of a public health emergency, and in order to provide clarity and certainty to the residents that need that most at this time. Instead, we do have a patchwork, and now we have the new CDC moratorium, which I will say is pretty extraordinary and unprecedented. And if it's upheld by the courts, it will save lives, and it could mean tens of millions of renters from being prevented from losing their homes before the end of the year. And the CDC moratorium should act as a floor. So if there are states that have stronger protections for renters against eviction, then those are the laws or the orders that will take effect. But if there are states and cities, and there are many throughout the country, that don't have any protections or have weak protections for renters, then this eviction moratorium will offer protection for them.
What about people who are being evicted right now? CNN ran a heartbreaking story about people in Houston who are being evicted as we speak, and they have nowhere to go. I mean, one family had a stroller with all of their belongings in it. They don't have a car, and they said, we don't know where to go.
Yeah, I saw it. It's terrible, and unfortunately, they're not alone. There are thousands and probably tens of thousands of renters that have already been evicted since the start of the COVID-19. And they are unfortunately not helped by this moratorium. They're certainly not helped by congressional inaction or Congress being on vacation over the last month. And it's terrible and it's tragic. And this eviction moratorium that the CDC is implementing is expected to take effect tomorrow. And so those renters who haven't yet been evicted hopefully have a chance to stay in their homes and be protected under this moratorium if they're eligible for it.
So if individuals have to make less than $99,000 or less in income, couples filing jointly have to make $198,000 or less. Are there any other requirements?
There are, and those requirements are quite broad. When it comes to renters in our country, about 96% of renters fall within those income eligibility requirements. But renters have to sign a declarative statement to give to their landlords in order to be protected under this order. And in that declarative statement, they have to say they expect to make less than that amount of money. They have to say that they have done everything that they can to pay the rent, and they'll continue to do everything they can to pay the rent. They have to attest that they have lost income or that they have extraordinary health care costs. And they have to attest that if they were to be evicted, they would become homeless and or have to double or triple up with family or friends as their next housing option. So renters, and again, that really covers the vast majority of low-income renters who are facing eviction because of COVID-19. Right. So if they meet those eligibility requirements and they sign this declarative statement saying so, and they give it to their landlord, then they are protected from evictions for non-payment of rent under this order.
So they have to go to the CDC's website tomorrow and sign this declaration?
Well, the CDC will be one place to find it, yes. I think there will be many organizations like Seamus and the National Housing Law Project will be sending out information, certainly. We will, at the National Low-Income Housing Coalition, through our network of housing advocates and low-income renters, I think there will be governors and mayors who will really have a stake in getting this information out. There will be many groups working to get this out as widely as possible to as many renters as possible, so that they can sign the declarative statement and be covered under this moratorium.
Seamus, what is the plan at the National Housing Law Project? How are you planning to get the word out, especially to people who do not have computers?
We're a national support center for legal aid attorneys around the country, so we're working with our network to get this out. Part of it is doing media like this one right here to make sure that people understand it and understand what's going on. But I think, we just touched on how complicated the situation is, and I think it's going to be very difficult for tenants to understand what their rights are. And so it's really important that if you're facing an eviction, if you get a notice from your landlord, that you reach out to a legal services organization in your area. Lawhelp.org is one of the best places for nationwide to find access to who your local legal services attorneys are.
And Seamus, what are you seeing in the Bay Area? Are there many evictions happening?
Luckily, in the Bay Area, we have a lot of local ordinances as well, and so those have been oftentimes much stronger than what we had at the state level and much clearer. So you've seen a very low number of evictions going on. But what we have seen is a real uptick in illegal evictions and in harassment from landlords, so situations in which utilities get shut off, people come home to locks being changed and things like that. And it's really important if you're facing that sort of situation that you also reach out to an attorney, because the courts will be open to hear your case and to make sure you can get back into your home.
Wow. And Diane, in the case of what's going on in Houston, according to that report, they're going to be evicting about, I believe it was 200 people a week.
Yes,
in Houston.
And again, it's not just Houston. That's happening in many cities and states across the country. In places where eviction moratoriums have expired, city or statewide eviction moratoriums have expired, evictions are increasing. I just saw something today that in Rhode Island, there were 12,000 eviction filings last week, which was up from 800 and 300 in the weeks preceding. So it's absolutely a crisis. It's why an eviction moratorium is so badly needed. And I think it's very important that your listeners understand that the eviction moratorium on its own isn't enough, that it's a half measure that postpones, but it doesn't prevent evictions, because eventually rent is still going to be due, and that debt is just growing the longer Congress isn't acting in providing emergency rental assistance to allow renters to pay what they owe already and continue to pay the rent into the future.
Did you say 12,000 in Rhode Island?
Yes.
Wow. That is incredible. That is one of your, when you sent out a statement, one of the criticisms is that this is just a half measure because there's no emergency rental assistance. And then, as you also say, this is definitely going to be challenged in court by landlords because they're not getting any assistance.
Right. The emergency rental assistance is essential that be paired with an eviction moratorium. The eviction moratorium is so important. It stops the bleeding. It keeps people in their homes in the middle of a pandemic. It assures them that they're not going to lose their homes and become homeless and have to figure out where they're going to go with their kids when they do. But rent is still owed. Rent is still due. And eventually the eviction moratoriums expire and they create this financial cliff for renters to fall off of at that point, because they're no more able to pay all of the back rent that they owe then than they are now or they were at the beginning of the pandemic. And at the same time, small landlords, they depend on rental income coming in so that they can pay their bills and keep the lights on and continue maintaining and operating their properties. So the longer renters struggle to pay the rent, the more those small landlords are struggling to keep their properties and their homes online. So it's very important that Congress act, that they get back to work and get back to negotiations and pass legislation that provides at least $100 billion in emergency rental assistance to go along with a uniform eviction moratorium.
Mm. Well, Diane, I know we have to let you go, so thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Diane Yentl is president of the National Low Income Housing Coalition. Seamus, final thoughts from you. We've got about a minute left. What message would you send to people who, are really struggling right now to make ends meet?
Reach out to your Congress people right now, because we really need Congress to take action. The CDC moratorium is great, but it's pretty unprecedented. So we need Congress to pass their own eviction moratorium that's going to keep this out of the courts and make it clear nationwide, and to build on Diane that we need rental assistance so much for tenants, but also for landlords, for the small and medium-sized landlords out there that are struggling right now. And my last thought on this is that the people that are facing eviction because of what we ask them to do. That so many of them have lost jobs because of the pandemic. The companies that they work at have been shut down. That they are facing eviction because we told them that they can't work. And that we need to lift them up and take care of them as part of this process, that this burden needs to be spread among all of us and not forced down to those people at the lowest income who are struggling the most.
Seamus Roller is executive director of the National Housing Law Project. They're based in San Francisco. Seamus, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you can find more information about evictions and the CDC rule at yourcallradio.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.